Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast. Listen, if you want hacks, my friend, I'm afraid you're in the wrong place. Our philosophy has grown out of the 10K Collective London Masterminds. Members, by the way, make between $500,000 and $7 million a year in e-commerce, most on Amazon. Many have doubled revenue in the last 12 to 18 months. If you're that kind of person, this podcast is made for you. We're not puritanical. We use hacks. We just don't think you should focus on them if you're building a real business. Instead, we focus on what's been proven to work in the group. Real brand building, clear strategic objectives, courageous long-term goals, and long-range thinking. If you like that focus, keep listening, and welcome to the 10K Collective. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Mr. Mayor, and anyone else who's listening, this is Michael Veazey from the 10K Collective podcast. And today I'm talking to Davis Wynn of myconsultingoffer.org. Got to get the URL right. It's the basis of internet marketing. And we have been talking about the basic principles of how to find where your audience is, basically, and to connect with them and really understand them, and the power of that, you know, to keeping it simple. But today we are talking about two specific platforms. It's shiny object time. Everyone always loves this. So I've got to do that tactical shiny object, do this and don't think too much episode. And this is that episode. Only kidding. And we're going to make you think, I'm afraid. And we're going to talk about Reddit and Quora with Davis, because it had huge successes with that early on. So take it away. Tell me about Reddit. Why is Reddit good for e-commerce or for any internet entrepreneurs?
I think Reddit in general. So I'll start off with why I think Reddit is just a good platform in general. And then second, we'll dive into why e-commerce in particular. So Reddit, for anyone who hasn't used the platform, is basically a community and people are anonymous. And they share their thoughts and opinions. And there are sub-communities called subreddits. So for example, you could be interested in everything from cute dog video to the keto diet to I'm discovering all new different types of subreddit every single day. There's basically one for like nudists living in Asia that randomly popped up on the suggested. I was like, why is it suggested for me? I have no clue. Maybe it's because I'm in Thailand. But anywho, there's like a lot of different communities out there for you based on Reddit. The second reason why I really love Reddit is that you have people who are self-forming these communities of, let's say, anywhere from tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands, some millions of subscribers. So basically people in the community who are surrounded by this one topic that they love. And then the third is that people don't use it for business, as in it's just really a social forum, and Reddit is starting to push for more ads. So we are on Reddit. But from an e-commerce point of view, I actually want to think about it from a search. As in, you don't have to take my word for it. Literally go on Google. If you type in a product name, Google will automatically suggest product name, Reddit. And in fact, when I go for a review, for example, last month when I was trying to buy a weight set for the gym I was building in my garage, I literally typed in the name of the product and then Reddit, and I saw all the reviews of it. So I'm not afraid that I'm going to go on Amazon and it's a fake review or some other circle or pod. I can just go straight to the source. So as a result, a lot of times my default now is to go on Reddit and search for everything from laptops to yoga mats to pretty much anything that I'm trying to buy, gift cards. And so it's like one of those communities where, because it's anonymous, no one's trying to sell it. And because it's moderated, if you all do seem like you're trying to, you're an affiliate, you will get kicked off. So as a result, it's unbiased from your view. But the one thing they don't kick off is the Reddit ads. So for example, if you were trying to sell a keyboard, a custom keyboard, and this is a laptop keyboard for anyone who's confused about the music bar keyboard or the laptop keyboard, there are basically communities where people custom build their laptops and keyboards and so forth that you can probably sell out and make it. And it's just such an untapped market that if you literally go on Reddit right now, there are ads that Reddit place on behalf of Reddit to get you to place Reddit ads.
That. So the fact that Reddit's advertising to get advertising implies that they have space or they have advertising space or what do they call it, advertising inventory available that they feel is underused. I guess like if a bus goes past you saying you could be advertising here, then I guess what they're saying is help, we need your business. So that's a great sign that they're keen, right? So that's really, really good. I mean, I love Reddit's one of those big open secrets. And my old business partner, Rob, was and is a very capable guy in multiple things, but he had a a programming side to his skill set. He's also running e-commerce for a company right now as director of e-commerce. But he's always very big on Reddit. And he's one of those guys that is a classic Reddit kind of person. So in other words, you better be competent. Otherwise, people would be writing things like RTFM, or if they smell commercial intent as opposed to being genuine, then they kick you off. So you got to go in, as you said, there's a trust factor there that's really high, and you need to acknowledge that. But what I love is, of course, if you run a platform yourself, you value trust and relationship with people, and you don't want to mess that up with bad commercial messaging. So for example, I don't want people coming into my little Facebook community that I run and advertising things at people all the time, because it's going to become over commercialized and pitchy and spammy. But guess what? I advertise my own stuff there. I try and be gentle and make sure it's valuable and relevant. But in the end, I run the thing. I spend a lot of time and energy putting it together. I've got to make sure that commercially I can afford to keep running it. And the same is true for Reddit, right? So if you own the system, you get to bypass your own rules. So and they're obviously hungry. So this is a fantastic little actionable thing. So you were giving me, let's give people that, the juice of the statistics here about the money. How much does it cost to get in front of people on Reddit ads compared to similar platforms? Let's get people clicking over to Reddit and actually doing stuff.
Sure. So this will depend on the subreddit, obviously, and if you're trying, who you're trying to target. But think of it this way: Facebook CPM, when you're paying for cost per thousand views here, is you're getting like impressions. You're getting like $30 to $50, depending on the time of the year. But for Reddit, you can get it for like $1 and $2. So imagine like every $2 you spend, you get 1,000 people to view it who is in your audience. So for example, if you're trying to sell picture frames, there's a subreddit for people who are obsessed with picture frames. And that's just amazing to me to think that exists for just such a low barrier to entry.
I mean, one of the things about Reddit that strikes me is quite old school, actually. It's been around for ages, a bit like Google Forums or Fora, I suppose, if you're being precise. And that's great because you get a certain person there that if you hit them nail on the head, they're very nerdy, very specific. So if you get it wrong, you'll be chased out of town with a pitchfork, metaphorically, obviously. And if you get it right, you're speaking a language of over precision, which is both the language of nerds who are the original creators of and users of the net. And there's still something of that flavor, isn't there, in Reddit when I use it occasionally. But also the economics and the engine of the net is niche marketing. You can sell, as you said, you know, maybe a particular type of wooden picture frame online and make a living from that. Whereas if you try to do that in a local small town, you go broke very quickly. So there is a beautiful, there's something about Reddit for me that it encapsulates the nature of internet marketing specifically, in that it's very, very specific and very nerdy and very detail oriented. And as such, I think if you're trying to sell a single product or some product type, that seems like a beautiful match to me. I mean, way more than, for example, Facebook, where you've got to distract people from looking at cat videos in order to sell them, you know, the latest perfume or something. It strikes me that that's, it works. And as just as television did, is interruption marketing. But it always strikes me as you're kind of fighting against the current. Whereas if you're going where people are already talking about your stuff, it feels to me like you're going with the flow. That always strikes me as a more elegant solution. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Having done a lot of Facebook ads, I know you've run Facebook ads for companies in the past. How does Reddit compare to something like Facebook or social media?
Yeah, so two things here. One is, remember the key thing, and if anyone wants to know deeper, visit our last episode where we talked about this, is that I wanted to pick strategy before tactics. So strategy is basically, are your people there? So the answer can be that for you, it's Facebook. And for others, it could be Reddit or vice versa or some other platform. So one thing to avoid shiny object syndrome, which I know we're supposed to be talking about right now, is to just think about where your audience is before you dive in. But in particular for Reddit, there's a difference here. So if you think about the mode of what people are in when they are shopping on or they're using Facebook versus Reddit, it's completely different. So for Facebook, well, our, as my little cousins call it, it's basically a boomer's territory now. So currently I'm a boomer now, is that we go into Facebook and we basically share our photos and so forth. We go into our groups and whatnot. But when you're on Reddit, you're hardcore about something. So for example, one of my favorite subreddits on on Reddit is NBA, where you talk about basketball. Yeah, I could do that on Facebook, but I can't do it in the same level as I could on Reddit. So you're already in this mode where you're on to it. So another subreddit I'm in, for example, is the Squared Circle, which is basically professional wrestling. As in, when you go into it, what you'll notice is, I always get hit with this ad, is that they make custom belts. So if you've ever seen the championship belts from like WWE, NXT, and those types of promotions, they literally will buy you a custom one. So think about how niche that is. The only people who want to carry this $200, $300 belt that they can't basically leave their house with, you can only hang it because otherwise you look like a weirdo walking a street with a heavyweight belt, here is people who are into wrestling. And imagine just being able to advertise to hundreds of thousands of those people every single month. So their ads are still there. It's been there for about probably a year, year and a half now. So I'm assuming they're making a killing. And when they're not, there's Professional Wrestling Tees. Literally, that's the website, Professional Wrestling Tees. Who else would you market that to except for to the wrestling subreddit? And so that's what I think the power of. But it is, yeah, so if you could find me as a professional wrestling fan on Facebook, that's amazing. You can do that, my likes and so forth. But the part where I'm thinking actively about it is when I'm on Reddit.
Yeah, I think that's you put your finger on it. Yes, you can target down to an audience that has certain interests on Facebook, but you're not necessarily, your mindset is different. I like the way you put that. I mean, I think I use Facebook for, I was just thinking about it. Personally, I try and stay off Facebook. When I go on there, I was recently doing some political ranting, which I think is a very toxic thing, by the way. I don't suggest anyone does that, but a lot of people do. So if I were working for a political party, I might use that. And then my wife uses it to look at pictures of cats falling off, you know, ledges, as usual, very traditional. And a lot of comedians. And so if I were a comedian trying to reach my wife, I would definitely be all over Facebook and trying to sell her gigs. In fact, I'm amazed that she doesn't get advertised and retargeted. I don't think these comedians' agents are quite on it yet. But yeah, you're right. Whereas something like subreddits or, you know, podcasts is another thing. Like people who listen to podcasts, sometimes people back in the early days when I only had like 100 episodes out as opposed to about over 400 now, they'd say, I've listened to every episode you put out. I'm like, oh my God. I used to say to them like, thank you so much. Please don't do that. You'll drive yourself crazy. But think about, that's one podcast. That the level of obsession that implies about the subject matter is just crazy. So yeah, I mean, again, podcasts, like it's a crazy idea, but you could just, you know, create a podcast about a physical product type. I'm just saying, nobody seems to be doing that. Everyone's creating podcasts about how to sell Amazon products, but I don't see people doing that. But anyway, I mean, I'm not saying that would be right for you. But yeah, again, it's an obsessive type medium. I really love that, partly because I'm an obsessive type person. I mean, I absolutely love certain things like grammar nerding, internet marketing, music stuff. And from that point of view, I should probably be all over Reddit because I'm very much that kind of nerdy type person. So Reddit is obviously, sounds very, very exciting, very worth exploring if it's going to be relevant for your audience. And thank you for the reminder, doing a slap on the wrist there. Don't get too shiny object oriented. Think about the strategy before tactics. Very, very wise. 100%. Tell me a bit about Quora, because we've mentioned Quora as well before, because I think that's another one that you've found some great success with, and that's certainly not something I've heard much about as a marketing tool. So when would that be relevant for you, and when would that not be relevant for you as an e-commerce seller?
So I'll take this really quick. I really like Quora. The reason I like Quora is similar to Reddit. People are very obsessive about a certain topic, I'm being one of those. But also second, it's very public facing in the sense that people put their profiles, their Facebook and so forth on, and they're answering questions. So Quora, for anyone who hasn't used the platform, it's basically a Q&A platform where you ask a question and people answer it. So it could be anything from, what is something you only know having been raised in a military family, to questions like, what were the best life-changing movies I should watch, and so forth. And the reason why I like Quora is it's very similar to Google, but a Q&A. So you could quickly figure out, for example, the type of question people ask. Like, I typically, when I go in there, I search for questions. Like, for example, I was buying a noise canceling headphones last month. And I was thinking, okay, who's the best noise canceling headphones? And like I mentioned earlier on the last episode, I was also buying an in-home gym. So I was trying to look at best workout bench. And then of course, when I need my supplements, which vitamins to go, and I'll literally type those in. And the cool thing about Quora is it allows you to advertise in three unique ways. One is on the question itself. Like for example, if you were selling vitamins and the question was, what's the best brand for vitamins? You could actually literally advertise there. Second, you can actually answer the question yourself, which is obviously organic, it's free, it's going to stay there forever versus having to pay for it. And then the third is you can retarget them. So once you have that retargeting there, you can retarget them no matter where they spend on Quora. And usually the statistics Quora will tell you is that people who go to Quora tend to stay on Quora.
So there's this, again, like subreddit is certainly a kind of semi-obsessive nature, although the sort of questions like, you know, what's the best movie that's going to change my life is a bit of a Facebook-y type question, isn't it? It sounds very generic and like it's very unlikely that somebody spends their entire time doing that as a hobby. Or at least, yeah, maybe I'm wrong. If you're selling movies, maybe it's the perfect place to be. But I love that. So there are three ways to hit the audience. I'm just going to reiterate this because I think this is really, really important. You can advertise, you can answer questions, and you can retarget. So, okay, so let's dig a little bit more into this stuff. Then presumably, I guess we just start with the least scalable, least sexy sound things, answering questions. Any sort of do's and don'ts about how to go about doing that?
Yeah. So in terms of Quora, the first thing I would always talk about, and I've, that's funny, a couple of guests, Colleen Tommy, reached out to me about this as well, is how do I get started on Quora? The quick answer is just do some research, be a user. Again, I know the audience is like, oh, I have to do work. It's like, yeah, spend 2 hours, get to know Quora, get to know Reddit, get to know any platform and actually use it and see what people are, what irks people, how are the opportunities there? Because I almost think of it as everything that I do that my competition chooses not to do is another advantage that I have long term. And getting in early is kind of like getting in early on Facebook or Google and so forth. And so when I'm thinking about how to use Quora is think about how would a Quora user want to perceive it? Because the things that turn Quora off are when you're trying to be completely salesy. But if you're trying to provide value, then that is it. As in, you don't take my word for it, literally go in. And the best ones are actually software companies that are using it right now. They have dedicated people, call them basic Quora marketers, who will go in and answer questions about their software, why their software is better than their competitors. But you'll notice that the nature is that they're not trying to sell you on it. They're basically saying, hey, this is how it's going to solve your problem. One, two, this is what we currently lack the other competitors. And three, they're contributing to the overall economy as well at Quora. So both Reddit and Quora are economies and communities that once you are part of it, the benefits are there. But if you're trying to go get a quick hit, probably the answer is not these platforms, because you're just not going to know how the audience will perceive what you're trying to do.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. I use Quora to a degree, and every so often, I didn't even know, like a lot of good internet marketing, you can't remember how you got there in the first place because it was an organic process, but or organic feeling, shall I say, for the user. But I've seen quite a lot on Quora that people start answering FBA queries. I guess it's because I Google things to see what my competition's up to in terms of Amazon coaching. And a great number of people do things like, well, let's answer the question. Now, if you want to find out more, go to my sales page. It feels salesy. It's not really authority building. And I think, unlike Facebook, where you're spending a lot of money to reach somebody in their cat video to try and sell them a holiday, in my wife's case, for example, which, by the way, if you're selling holidays, the people, my wife's a fantastic person to sell to because, like, you will make money on your adverts. But, you know, that's a completely different. You could be more aggressive and more direct about it, and you have to be. But if you're in a, same with podcasts, and I got a couple of rude reviews last year, quite rightly, because I think I did a 5-minute pitch for something. I don't know what overcame me. I just lost my mind, really, because that's obviously stupid idea. And quite rightly, somebody said, look, it took me about 7 minutes to get to any actionable information. And that was a terrible, terrible idea. So don't do this at home. But yeah, I see a lot of people mess this up from a user perspective. I find that, and also marketer, I guess I haven't used it yet. The really, really obvious thing with the authority and sort of information type marketing is don't pitch, just resist the urge. You can put your contact details. I mean, it's exactly what we're doing with you, right? Somebody at the end of it, even though this is an e-commerce based podcast, they might also have a coaching wing or wanted to be creating an agency, because every single Amazon seller I ever meet nowadays is creating an agency. So they may come to you, but they're not going to come to you because you say, yeah, I'm great, I made lots of money, and by the way, if you go right now, I've got a special offer, go to my consult, you know, get the URL, myconsultingoffer.org, because we haven't even mentioned anything like that, because you're building authority, you're building the fact that you know what you're doing, you're helping people, you're building goodwill. It's kind of old school, easy stuff, right? But people get it wrong all the time. So I'd really emphasize that. I mean, there's something about the Amazon space that leads to a lot of bad behavior. I don't know even why, but this is an example how not to do it. I mean, if you're an Amazon seller, you've probably done this already, but go on Quora and type in a simple thing like, how do I figure out what to sell on Amazon? It's kind of a slightly dumb question with respect as well. So you're going to get dumb answers, but I think this is an example of how not to do it. So this is the how to hit the audience thing by answering questions, doing some work. By the way, you're mentioning software companies do this well. What do you think is the, just remind me what it is you think the characteristics of what they're doing well about it is, because obviously specializing this.
Sure. So you can actually look it up. And a good example is I always like to turn it up. So if you look up monday.com, so they're basically a project management tool. They're pretty good on Quora. And so they have these reps who come in, they answer these questions. I actually demoed it for my previous company because of how great the answer was that what they do is they go in there, they don't pitch. They just tell you about, great, these are probably your pain points. This is how you solve them manually. And this is how Monday would theoretically solve it. So they're doing a soft sale, but they're not really pitching it. And I have bought so many different products on based on Quora recommendations, everything from headphones to vitamins was probably the latest one, just because I probably did buy it from the person who rate the reviews and so forth, but because they weren't sales, they actually explained it. For example, one of the vitamins I bought was like, they actually went through, it's like, hey, this is how we're better than ever once, as in literally explaining to me the science behind multivitamins and why they have the mix that they have. And I'm like, okay, I'm pretty impressed. I'm so...
It's just really, really understanding the differences between different forms of marketing. Like if you're information marketing, give quality information and then shut up and wait. A certain percentage of people will want to go further and then you just make a gentle offer, as opposed to interruption marketing when you're on TV or to some extent Amazon ads. You kind of have to scream at people. I mean, Amazon copywriting is a particular art, but you have to bang people over the head because you've got about 2 seconds. Whereas on Quora or subreddit, they've already said they're interested in the topic. So you can probably go into crazy amounts of detail and they'll take it because that's what they want. The same with YouTube videos. I mean, somebody's pointing out with YouTube videos versus Facebook videos, and it's so entirely different as a medium just because it happens to look the same way as a video. If you go on YouTube, it's a search engine and you're looking for an answer to, I know the other day I just Googled like how to change a fluorescent light bulb because we've just got a new property that we're letting out and I needed to go and look that up, right? I will go on there and my limitation is, have I got the answer I need? Not have I got 2 seconds because I've got to get back to my cat video. So I think, again, it comes down to understanding the mentality that your prospective customers are in different environments is really profoundly different. And I think that one size fits all marketing is really terribly dangerous. Have you got any further thoughts on that one?
Absolutely. So it's first principles, where those I think are always reliable. Where's your audience? What are their needs? How can you solve those? But within every platform is completely different. Like for example, and we noticed in fact from my time at Jump Cut, we did Facebook, we did YouTube, we did them in 7 figures in terms of spend. And they're completely different audiences. When somebody is on YouTube and for example, they're say that one of the courses hypothetically we're doing is a video editing course. When you're on YouTube and you're literally like, how do I do this on Final Cut? It's prime. I want the answer, but I'm not thinking about that on Facebook. So your hook has to be a lot more. It's almost like invite me in, entertain me, take me more interesting than that cat that's jumping off the ledge. Catch my attention. First on YouTube, you have their attention. It's almost like it's your attention to lose at that point. But on Facebook, you're trying to grab it, but it's completely different. Quora, they already are searching for the answer. So you don't need to hook them in. I'm like, oh, how great this is. Like, just get straight to the answer. I remember I was talking to a friend of mine who was voted Quora's best answer of the year a few years back. And so how he gets that award is how many people view and subscribe to his account and everything. He was like the top guy in like 2016, 2017. And basically his whole thing is like, I just go straight to the point. I literally just answer. And you look at his answers compared to all his competitors and so forth. And he runs a marketing agency as well. Is that he just answers the question. But everyone else is like, oh, let me tell you a little bit about our brand. Let me tell you about our methodology. That's how we're different. And then if you want the answer, click this page.
They're going for a sort of direct response type marketing, whereas he's going for authority marketing. And I guess against, I would say, so don't talk about how your brand is different. Yeah, I mean, I think in a way, don't talk about how your brand is different. Demonstrate how your brand is different by giving value, right? I guess it's the difference between coming into a shop and somebody coming over and say, can I help you? We've got a special offer on today, as opposed to come to our shop. Would you like a glass of champagne and a chocolate? Now you got my attention. I mean, and that's literally what L'Occitane in, you know, will do for my wife. She'll come back grinning from ear to ear because they've given her a drink, because she's like, she spends a lot of money with those guys. It's a very good return on investment, I can tell you. Again, if you work for L'Occitane, you know, you can make a lot more money for my wife than you even are at the moment, which is crazy because we have 300 of your products in my house. I don't know why we need this much face cream, but it's just a thing, you know. So that's so smart, because she comes away with, you know, a drink, and she's had some free product. That's giving, literally giving value, right? And in the e-commerce world, I mean, we are somewhat geared to that, but mostly it's a very quick sort of, you take this thing now and I'm going to chase you for reviews, or I'm going to, you know, desperately try and get some immediate quick fix from it. They're not after an immediate quick fix. They're just giving value and building goodwill, and that's it. And guess what? That brand is just lodged in my wife's brain as somewhere she's loyal to. So, yeah, I think for information, you just give information that's relevant, and then just leave it alone. But the fact that your friend got this on Quora, you know, says it all. I mean, it really is as simple as what he said. And you know, I'm sure you've got to be very expert in an area. But then if you don't know much about an area, I would question why you're in it in the first place, which is another question. Like, why is it that you spent 25 years working in an office and you're obsessed with wrestling, but you're trying to sell, I don't know, baby mats? I mean, I get this all the time on Amazon, which drives me crazy. Like, if you don't understand an audience, how the hell are you going to sell to them? But that's a slightly different problem. I hope that most of the listeners to 10K Collective podcast will be a little bit more intelligent than that. Tell me about the other two ways to get an audience on Quora then. So this is more the stuff that generally people get excited about. You can advertise, you can retarget them. Retarget's obviously a very nice shiny object keyword. So tell me about advertising on Quora.
Sure. So very simple. As in, I almost like think platforms are simple. So for Quora, it's basically three things. It's one, what's your headline? Two, what's your body? And three, would you like to have an image with that? And no video, just images as of now. And it's just, you can figure out who you want to target. Like, for example, on Facebook, you can target their age, their gender, where they live, and so forth. And on Quora, it's very simply, it's what kind of questions do they, what kind of topics are they interested in? Like, for example, let's assume that I am in the financial services space. Anyone who asks about tax questions, and let's say, for example, I want them to be within the expat community, so digital nomads, expats, and so forth, I can tag all that. And Quora will only show your ad to the people who fit those categories. So it's, instead of doing it by gender and so forth, it's literally based on behavioral. What are they interested in? And it's just as that simple. Just put it on the ad, and I was teaching people how to do this, and you can actually just do it with your first ad within like 5 minutes. Quora does such a fantastic job in trying to get you on the platform.
Great. I mean, what I love about that, you just said a really key word. I think it's not demographic based so much as behavior based. I think there's so much power in that. And behavior based marketing, every so often somebody starts banging on about it. I mean, Frank Kern talks about it. I have to say, probably not my favorite marketer. He's got a certain sort of Southern swagger charisma that means he can get away with doing stuff that the rest of us probably can't, i.e. selling every single time he contacts you or any podcast. There's always a sales pitch. I have no problem with that because he's got the charisma and charm, and I don't mind being sold to if it's sold well. But nevertheless, behavioral driven marketing is the way to go, I think, because again, how does somebody know that my wife is seriously interested in L'Occitane? It's dead simple. A, she buys a load of product from her. I'm going to have to edit my own podcast to get that out now. And the second thing is that she turned up in the store having bought a load of product. I'm sure they've got, you know, they've got some kind of discount card or whatever. That means they log into the system. They can see that she's like tagged as a super valuable customer and she's physically turned up. Of course, they're going to give her a glass of fizz because that's a fraction of the money she spent with them. So it's very, very simple, but people miss that. Again, because it's virtual, I guess, they forget there's a human being on the other side of it. If somebody's asked 25 questions about how do I sell on Amazon, they're probably looking for help to sell on Amazon, for example. And if you're selling e-commerce stuff like, as you said, headphones, if somebody's typed in, you know, six different questions around noise-canceling headphones, they're probably really, really going to buy at least one set. And I bet you something else. I mean, Davis, how many sets of noise-canceling headphones have you bought, if I may ask?
I bought one for myself and one for as a gift. But I'll tell you what, funny enough, I bought mine and I realized the shortage of what I was doing. And then I was like, huh, I wonder if there are better ones I could have bought. So like, for example, I bought the ones that are great for just commuting, airports and things like that. But I realized I couldn't take them to the gym. And then other people were complaining about that on Reddit, of all places, of course. And then they were like, oh, by the way, yeah, I bought these headphones too. I'm like, oh, you can take those to the gym. They're not as great as the airport, but I'll take you to the gym. And then now I'm all fascinated about this whole new other product. And I'm like, all right, anyone talk about this at Google? And I Googled it. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm back on Quora. And so it's like bouncing back between the two. It's like they have me on this loop.
Excellent. And you know what? I would put money on the fact that you're going to buy another set of noise cancelling headphones within the next 3 to 6 months as well. I mean, because as somebody who's getting that into something, they don't normally buy one. For example, I don't buy one podcast mic. I mean, so far I've limited myself to 5 or 6 different microphones I've used, but you know, I'm going to buy another one because I'm looking for the perfect sound. So then it's easy to use. They're slightly less heavy. You know, it's one of those things. I'm going to end up buying some more lighting systems for the podcast. I'll probably buy another one of these boards. You know, if you get really, really into something, you really are going to buy multiple sets of it, in my experience. You get obsessed, right?
Oh, absolutely. As in, I have like a lot of people, especially entrepreneurs, we're very obsessed with what it is and we just want to know everything. Otherwise, that's the curiosity of it. like just follow things like sleep masks. I have like 5 different types of sleep masks depending on where I am, what temperature the room is, how much sleep I got the night before. It's like, it's crazy. As in, it's such a weird thing to have 5 things up. I have like 5 different sleep masks, 3 of them which I carry around when I travel and I go to different conferences and things like that, which is like insane. But again, everyone has their own peculiar thing.
They do. And I think as marketers, we really, really forget this, that look, just one of the best bits of sales wisdom I got from somebody who was incredibly simple sounding. It said, a buyer is a buyer is a buyer. And that sounds ridiculous, but it's true. So for example, my wife buys just loads and loads of face creams and stuff. Right, she has very good skin. It's not like it's bad skin. I think it gets dry very easily. She's got fine skin that gets dry, and it's Britain and it's the winter. But for example, in our bathroom, we have like 30 tubs. Forgive me, darling. I'm going to say all this stuff. 30 tubs of face cream from the Body Shop, so the same brand, and they haven't been used since I've moved in here a few years ago. So I just think a buyer is a buyer is a buyer. If you love face cream for whatever reason and you love buying stuff, you will buy face cream. It is not related to the fact that you already have some face cream, because some logical part of our brains, maybe this is a man thing as well, like some logical part of our brains goes, well, you already have, you know, 15 types of this thing. Why would you buy another one? Or if you have like 40 pairs of shoes, surely that person has enough shoes, they're never going to buy shoes again. But no, that's not how it works. It's the opposite. Somebody's bought 100 pairs of shoes, it's probably going to buy another 10 pairs of shoes in the next 6 months, because a buyer is a buyer is a buyer. And I hate to say something that sounds so salesy and old school, but actually my experience is just incredibly true. And I'm a classic example. I buy hundreds of business books and I'll probably keep buying them to the day I die, even though my wife looks at them and goes, why have you got so many business books? Surely you should be a millionaire by now. I'm like, it's a good point, but you know, that's not how it works. So I just wanted to round that very old school bit of thing home, because I think people miss this. If somebody's buying a lot of stuff or asking a lot of questions, don't worry about the other 99% of people that aren't doing much stuff, because that person is probably going to be responsible for a big percentage of your sales, a huge percentage of your profit, because you only have to reach them once and they'll buy multiple times. They're probably going to tell you everything you need to know, exactly like that guy you said that got you on the phone. You probably wrote half of his listing for him. The other 3-4 people he spoke to wrote the other half, and then we're done, right? I'm sorry, slight tangent, but in a way, I think not. I think people get very, very confused about this, me included, because it seems so counterintuitive.
We forget. It's like people on every side, and we think that we're exceptional. It's like saying we are exceptional. People, we're asking this, yeah, you're all exceptional. But in actuality, you're like just like normal people. As in, for example, I think that I'm the only person with a bunch of sleep masks. I'm pretty sure if I go to a convention of people who are into better sleep quality, I'm pretty sure I'll find someone with 20 pairs of sleep masks. They're like, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you gotta let it wear out for a day. You can't wear the same one, David. That's like, what are you doing there?
Absolutely. And also, I've got to admit that I've got about 6 sleep masks, but guess who bought them? My wife, because my wife doesn't buy things in singles. And that's the other thing that we forget. Just somebody doesn't need to be in a job or some kind of legitimate reason to buy multiple things. Some people just buy things in multiples. My wife never buys single anything. I like, for example, needed to get a new bike lock a while ago, and this one I think we'd first met, it was about 6 years ago, and I was amazed that I went down to Halfords, which is a shop that sells things like that and car parts in the UK, and I bought a bike lock, and I came home, and a few days later, I think we weren't even together at that point, I sort of just started dating, and I went around her house and she'd ordered 5 online. I was a bit surprised. This is one bike we're talking about, mind you. So some people just buy things in large numbers, and nobody's exception. Actually, it depends on which particular product, right? So I don't think you can say, oh, there's a certain type of person who's a multi-buyer and create some complex profile for the sort of mentality. You know, I'm a multi-buyer, if you like, with business books. My wife does it with a lot of different things. I do it with podcasts, in the sense that it's free, but also audiobooks. I buy lots of audiobooks, for example. It's a habit I'm trying to wean myself off, but I love them. and I go running a lot and I want to have something to listen to, other people will download every single album by a particular group or something. There's some obsessive within all of us, I think. So I don't think you and I need to feel bad, Davis, because I think we're just typical consumers, but it just depends which particular thing you choose to obsess with. So let's wrap this one up. Tell me what your sort of top three do's and don'ts are for Quora, and then we'll do the same for Reddit.
Sure. Three top do's for Quora is, one, before you use Quora, figure out if people are actually talking about your product, because they're not going to talk about every single product. For example, if it is a sex toy, probably read it when it's anonymous. But for Quora, probably people aren't going to put their face on it and talk about, this is what I use. So figure out if your audience is actually on Quora. Second is, if it is, start a small test. It takes 5 minutes to set up an ad. Just go for it. And third, give value. It's all about giving value on Quora. And then you'll find that once you do that, you'll have a very unfair advantage. On Reddit, a couple things. One, more than Quora, don't be salesy. They will kick you. They will mark you as spam and they will kick you out. Two is, spend time on the subreddits, as in very quickly. Just type, if you type in on Google search and people already know how to do this, site reddit.com, and then type in whatever topic you're trying to interest, you'll find a bunch of Reddits. And then there are actually sites that tell you, if you click your favorite Reddit, it'll tell you other subreddits that you're probably going to do. It's like cursive research, all done for you. It takes like 10 minutes to do that. And then the third thing on the Reddit is, again, figure out if your audience is actually on there, because people listen to this and they're like, oh my gosh, I have to do Reddit. No. They missed the point. The point is, where is your audience? And it just so happens that, at least for our market, and love our audience, is that they happen to be on Quora and Reddit, maybe because they're as nerdy as I am and they hang out there as well. But just look back on where your audience is, and that's where you should go. Because if your audience is not on Quora, not on Reddit, and it's on another platform, then you should be there and not trying to force your way through.
Yeah, again, that summary of the thing you were saying is that you put strategy before tactics, i.e. first of all, is your audience on this platform? Because if it isn't, it isn't going to work for you. So again, it comes down to being people-centric rather than platform-centric, right? And I think that's a huge problem with Amazon sellers, because they often, as I was, are pitched into the idea, this is magic platform. And at a certain point, it kind of was, and it still has a lot of magic about it. It has a lot of eyeballs, has incredible conversion rates, has incredible trust. So you've got to say that that's true. But I think that can be true for Reddit, for the right people, and it can be true for Quora. But as you said, a very neat example, like if you've got a public profile, you're probably not going to be talking about very private things like sex toys. Whereas Reddit, if it's more anonymous, which is a very important point you made, it may be where the exact same consumer will talk in a completely different way because it's anonymized. So in the end, I guess it comes down to the two things, which is, number one, where does your consumer hang out, as you've rightly pointed out repeatedly, which I think is a really important thing to say. But the other thing is, what sort of behaviors are typical or even possible in a particular format, because there's behaviors that you get on Facebook that people wouldn't do in a bar, for example. I just talk about politics and Facebook in a way because everyone else seems to do that. Twitter's even more about ranty politics. Even the president of the USA, bless him, seems to conduct his entire policy of his entire nation via Twitter, which is unusual, but seems to be a thing. So, I mean, ranting about politics on Twitter and Facebook is probably socially acceptable, but if you do that in your own living room with your family over Christmas, as a few of us experiment with occasionally, you find that this is a really bad context in which to do it. So again, there's certain sort of behaviors that go with certain contexts, right? And I think it comes back to remembering that we're human beings when we're doing marketing, instead of being led by numbers, right? And I think that's such a big danger. So some great do's and don'ts for Quora and Reddit. This is really lovely, actionable stuff. So those who are itching with a trigger finger over their keyboards, this is a go and do it one, isn't it, really? It sounds like a really excellent thing if it matches your product and your audience. So thank you very, very much for sharing some great stuff about Quora and Reddit. That's amazing.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
So, Davis, we're going to have to wrap things up because I know you've got to dash on to life in Thailand before you then presumably fly back to the West Coast next week or something. Complex international digital nomad lifestyle that you have. It's been really great stuff. I love the fact that you work from first principles. Where is your audience is a repeated message that we're getting. Have you got any final thoughts for e-commerce sellers who want to go and find traffic sources that are both relevant to a particular type of audience and where the competition is low, where it's early adopter sort of situation?
Like I mentioned, read your reviews and figure out where they hang out. That's like the ease. I know, like, if people are looking for some complex solutions, I find that most things, if they're simple and they're fundamental, they'll work. So figure out, read the reviews, find out where they hang out, spend time with them, and you'll find a couple of things.
So read the reviews and figure out where they hang out. I think, this is, as you say, a lot of the time, good practice is pretty simple. I mean, there's another member of the 10K Collective Mastermind who's been developing his own product line, and they simply, it's for gym users, and it's a kind of supplement. I'm not going to get any further with that. Again, the sacred keywords that we will not mention, but he has simply been creating small batch runs of things, taking it to people and saying, how is it? Is it working for you? Is it performing its primary function? Does it taste good? Is it easy to consume? Just basic stuff, and then iterating based on actual real conversations with actual real life users. So crazy how simple success can be if you're willing to do the stuff, as you say, the competition isn't willing to do. That's your competitive advantage. That was a great quote. So if people want to get in touch with you, I presume they go to your website. So it's myconsultingoffer.org. Is that right?
That's correct. You just reach me. I'm super easy to find.
Excellent. So, Davis, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you. And I love the fact that we're bringing in somebody who doesn't sell on Amazon, and that you're bringing immediate, actionable, valuable insights to people who do sell on Amazon. So once again, I would just plead with people, please, this 2020, think outside the box, folks. If you're just listening to Amazon podcasts, you are missing out. Of course, this is an Amazon-focused podcast, but we're trying to bring people in from the outside the bubble. So, Davis, it's been fantastic to talk to you. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to the 10K Collective podcast. I really hope you found the show helpful. I mentioned the London-based masterminds we've been running since September 2017. Members of the 10K Collective Mastermind make a minimum of about £480,000 a year, well over €600,000 or dollars. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/10KC, K for kilo, C for Charlie. £1 million mastermind members make a minimum of £1.2 million a year. That's about $1.5 million US or euros. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/MPM. That's M for mother, P for Peter, M for mother. Thanks for listening.